Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to do our thing and chop up game like we always do, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get into the good game, understand that today's broadcast is brought to you by BoomLifestyle.com. Get ready to experience a new fashion explosion. Introducing Boom, that's the ultimate clothing brand for streetwear enthusiasts. Get your style game on point with their quality premium apparel available at BoomLifestyle.com. They got animal totems, nature symbols, positive messages, things to ignite your inner strength. So contact them right now. You're going to get free shipping and 10% off. That's BoomLifestyle.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right, family, let everybody come on in the room. Y'all hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that share button. Share this on Twitter, share this on Facebook. Let everybody know we're live. We're going to take that real quick commercial break, family. And I mean real quick. And don't you move a muscle, because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin, by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG, that stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Introducing Historical Black Americans, a powerful journey through history. Discover 33 Black American heroes who overcame adversity and shaped our nation's destiny. This book is a tribute to the importance of telling history's truth in its proper context. Empower young minds to uncover the history of America and embrace the courage that paved the way for change. Get your copy of Historical Black Americans today, available now on Amazon and Kindle.
Listen, are you ashy as hell? Do you have dry, parched skin? Does your elbows look like elephant knees? If so, you want to get your skin from crusty to lovely, go to ashkicking.com to get all the lotions, lubricants, and body butters that you need to get your skin in order. They got all types of health and beauty products, everything you need. They got incense, things to make your house smell good, things to make you smell good. So again, go to ashkicking.com. Again, that's ashkicking.com.
Why are you scratching your skin like that? Girl, this soap that I use is useless for my skin. Try Adesino soaps. Adesino soaps. Girl, yes, Adesino soaps are all natural and organic. What can it do for my skin? It helps heal dry skin, oily skin, blemishes, wrinkles. It even helps take off your makeup. And get this.
What?
You choose your favorite fragrance for all sorts of occasions.
Wow.
I think I'll try Adesino soaps. Thanks, girl.
My pleasure.
Go to www.adesinosoaps.com. That's www.adesinosoaps.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they think it, you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye and them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I am your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We're here. Glad to have y'all in here, family. Ready to do what we do, which is chop up great game. And I hope you guys retweeted this to let everybody know that we're live right now, family. I hope y'all let everybody know that we are popping right now, man. I'm glad to have y'all in here. And by the way, you know, we got the new fragrances for the Root Work deodorant. And we still got some more coming in. We got two new fragrances on the website, ladies and gentlemen. We got Mango Mojo. We got Mango Mojo and we got Lucky Lavender, ladies and gentlemen. Very smooth and great scents that you need to get, and you're going to love it. You are going to love it, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about. When we get to 2,500 people, then I'm going to get on camera. How about that? I get on camera. We got a little over 2,000. We get 2,500 people in here. I'm going to pop on camera for the family. I'm going to do that. A lot of stuff going on. We got to touch on the Diddy situation. We got to touch on that. A lot of other stuff going on that we got to talk about as far as the Israeli stuff and the Palestinian stuff. And I got to talk about the Tamar Braxton situation with Krishan. I want to get into that a little bit later. A lot of things we're going to touch on, family. And also, I got to thank everybody for the support of the museum. We got vandalized this week. And there was an outpouring of support, man. And I didn't even expect it. And I got to thank the family for that. I got to thank all you guys. A lot of people were hitting up the Hidden History Museum site. And I saw there was a lot of donations coming in. I didn't even ask for it, but I appreciate everybody for looking out just on GP. I wouldn't even, to be honest, I wasn't even thinking about it. For those who don't know, we our museum this weekend was vandalized again. We got vandalized again, and I put some information up on my Twitter. Let me look and see if I can find some of the stuff that I put up. I'm gonna post the video, our surveillance video. I'm gonna put that on. I'm gonna show that real quick. I'm gonna touch on that. Okay, look at we almost got 3,000 real quick. Okay, let me get on camera for the family. Let me do that. Let me hop on this cam. Boom. There it is. I'm here to make it more personal. Let me get here on the camera with the family. All right. Let me get on camera with the family. How y'all living? And oh yeah, let me show y'all. We got the new Root Work scents. All right. This is Mango Mojo. And this is Lucky Lavender. All these are great scents right here. Very good smells right here. And you can get these new scents at rootworkstyle.com. Rootworkstyle.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right. But listen, so going back to what I was saying, man, at the museum, we got vandalized again, man. We got people who keep coming up there. So it was some white Hispanic dudes who came up and spray painted the front of the security gates. About on the 1st of November, somebody spray painted the gate. This time they did a more elaborate spray painting. In September, somebody sprayed a little piece on the side a little bit. So, you know, we've been getting targeted repeatedly. And some non-black folks doing this stuff. And our museum is a cultural center. It's a cultural center for black history. And if you have a black institution that's that the community knows represents black history, black excellence, black grassroots, and it's getting hit all the time, you know, it's not a coincidence. We got to put two and two together. Let me show y'all the clip of the video surveillance that we got. Now, these guys, this wasn't like just some random gangbangers walking by and say, oh, let's tag this building. These dudes drove up in a damn Mercedes with some fake license plates on them. All right, these dudes had some fake license plates, and I've had private investigators run these plates left and right. They don't even exist, man. The plates do not exist. Also, when you see something like this happen and then you see all the sock puppet accounts, hey, it might be a hoax or something. Oh, that when y'all start seeing that COINTELPRO talk, all of the sock puppet accounts start talking about it might be a hoax. And, you know, that's something else going on. All right. But let me show this video here. Let me go to the thing and, show you guys our museum, and you guys can support the museum. Y'all can come on through. We're open Monday through Friday. Y'all just come on through, man, and take a look around and show love. But the guys pulled up at like midnight on Sunday. All right, they pulled up, got the spray paint cans. These guys are in a Mercedes. All right, we got good shots of them. So this was targeted. This was targeted. So we got the guy, white Hispanic dude, hitting the place up, and his partner. Let me scroll down. We got the license plate, but again, let me go forward. The license plate, you're right here. That's the license plate right there. Well, we didn't have private investigators run that plate. That don't exist nowhere. So for these guys to do something, that's a close-up of one of the suspects. So for the guy to do something like that, and yeah, they get these janky plates. Yeah, these plates that don't exist, because I'm talking to some private investigators and, you know, people who they were telling me, hey, man, people with like, you know, fake plates like that. I mean, usually that's some undercover cop type of shit. This is what I'm, look, yeah, look, y'all saw the plates. You guys do your due diligence. Run those plates. See if you can run those plates and see what comes up. All right? See if you can run those plates and see what's up. But man, that's why a lot of people are speculating that it could be possibly folks connected with law enforcement doing this type of stuff. And again, we've had undercover cops come up to the museum and do hate videos. They've sent some of their Negro minions up there. You know, there was this one dude, he made a YouTube video. He's a cop. He's a black tether who's a cop and came up there and did a hate video. I don't like it. It don't feel like no museum to me on some of that. And this dude's a damn cop. So why y'all sending cops up there doing little goofy shit like that? Yeah. Yeah, man. And look, listen, because I put this on social media, you know, a lot of people were making noise about it. A lot of people were hitting up, you know, LAPD, hitting up the city. So, you know, they kind of forced them to say something. So, you know, the police, they've been reaching out because of the pressure. Yeah, man, I'm, you know, it's looking real weird. Somebody said, turn the volume up. How am I doing with the volume? Is the volume good? Somebody said something about the volume. Is the volume good? Yeah, they got some undercover cop talking about, oh, it don't feel like no museum to me. Yeah, okay, when y'all doing stuff like that, this museum has had so many people triggered. The fact that we did this thing on a grassroots level and we didn't go groveling to the dominant society for resources, we did it on our own and got it popping. We started having our events, our monthly events that were the talk of the town. You guys will see the footage. We have events up there. It was popping. It was popping. So now we have this institution that we created from the grassroots, all black. We've marked it as a black designation. not black in this, black in that, not minority. We had a straight up and down, top to bottom, black institution, grassroots. Folks, you've seen how Tethers and white supremacists and wannabe white supremacists have been so triggered by the museum. That's not normal. You dig? That's not normal. It brings out that type of jealousy, and people are just losing sleep over it. You dig? These folks, man, we haven't even been open a year, and the constant attacks, the constant jealousy, the constant whining, the behind the scenes stuff with the city, doing stuff with permits and requiring this and requiring that. And then these people showing up here with janky ass license plates. So I was going to have my sister go, shout out to CeCe Freeman. I was going to have her go and take care of some paperwork stuff with us to file at LAPD yesterday. But then a lieutenant called me and said they wanted to come by and meet with me. So I told her to hold off. We might still have to go down there because, so it was a black lieutenant, dude, hit me up. They wanted to come to the museum yesterday, but no, we weren't there. So he said he wants to meet up with me today to talk about what happened. Okay, I'm like, cool. It's a black lieutenant. So I meet up with him today. He comes down to the museum today. The black lieutenant. And then, you know, I'm thinking, oh, cool, a brother. Okay, we got a brother who understands. And, you know, family, when this, they sent Uncle Ruckus. Family, they sent Uncle Ruckus down there to the museum to talk, dude. Family, y'all really don't understand. They sent the Negro Whisperer. Family, they sent this nigga down to splain. They sent this, the black lieutenant down to splain. Family, where, I wish I had a Bible in here. If I'm, what I'm saying, I'm lying. I'm dying if I'm lying. Family, so he comes down. Hey, brother, hey, all that hey, brother talk and all of that. And I'm like explaining, hey, what happened? And they've already done an investigation from last year, yeah, because when we were vandalized. So he came in with all of that information. Yes, hey, brother, we did an investigation, and you know, we it was from last year, and you know, I don't know why nobody never followed up with you, but you know, we came to a dead end. And I said, all right, brother, you know, hey, man, you know, we keep, you know, people keep coming over here, you know, hitting us up and vandalizing our institution, brother. And well, you know, you know, as you understand, there's a lot of gangs in this area, brother. And, you know, there are a lot of gangs who, you know, they look for blank canvases. And they, so he's splaining, like talking about gangs. Now, this ain't a gang thing, because I know who the gangs are in that area. Ain't no Mexican gangs in that area, by the way. There's no Mexican gangs in that area. So it wasn't a gang thing. They didn't put up gang graffiti, but yeah, he was splaining. He was splaining. And I was like, well, look, brother, listen. When they, you know, when other institutions get hit up, you know, I kind of want the same protection. Now, when I start bringing up the racial element, he started kind of crashing out a little bit. Family. He started crashing out a little bit. He was cool, and then he would crash out. He's family, he would start bucking his eyes. When I brought up the racial thing, because I'm like, no, I'm not, you know, no. I always bring it back to what I think it really is. This is like racial targeting. So when every time I brought it back to that, his eyes start bucking. So I'm thinking he might have been recording me. So he was like, I was like, you know, I don't think it was no gang stuff. He's like, yeah, you're right, because, you know, we looked in the database and it wasn't any kind of gang markings. But you got to understand, there are a lot of people who do graffiti, and, you know, they try to, you know, they'll look for something to do graffiti on to kind of express their art. I'm like, what, nigga? What? Express their art? I said, brother, man, y'all don't, the police, you guys don't talk like this when a synagogue. Somebody spray paints a synagogue, or they spray paint an Asian building. When I said that, that nigga, hold up now. Wait. See, I had a feeling you were going to go there now. Hold on, don't say that now. I can't confirm or deny nothing like that now. Hold on. And I'm like, I'm looking at this nigga like, why are you getting so spicy, nigga? I said that, he got real spicy. Like, whoa. Nigga. If I'm lying, I'm fine. This nigga, the eyes start bucking when I said that. Every time I said, well, brother, when you guys know when, if the Asian businesses, if somebody was spray painting an Asian business over and over again, man, you guys would be immediately doing the hate crime. Hold, wait, time out now. That's speculative. That is highly speculative. You can't say that, brother. No, don't say that now. Like, what is wrong with this nigga? Whoa. Then he would straighten back up. but what I'm trying to say, I understand your position. Then he would snap back into Bryant Gumbel mode. He would have Coon Tourette's, man. He would snap. He would crash out into like Uncle Ruckus and then get back to Bryant Gumbel. Dude, I'm like, what the fuck, nigga? And I'm like, oh man. He saw it in my face. I'm like, oh, they done sent you down here to splain, man. They done sent you down here to splain. I'm looking at him now like, okay, nigga. I'm up here just looking at him like this. So he's feeling my energy. So he's trying his best to straighten up. but I can understand you being concerned about any type of racial targeting. But from my experience, there are a lot of gangs and, you know, there's a lot of places that have graffiti sprayed on them. You know? I said, brother, ain't nobody else getting hit over here, man. And I'm the only black owned business here. Well, hold on now. What you trying to say and what you trying to imply, that's speculative. You can't say that now. Hold on. Now, let's not go there. Now time's out now. It's time's out for all that. We don't know. I cannot confirm or deny any of the allegations you is making. Nigga. Every time I brought up the fact, hey, we're the only black-owned businesses here and we're getting hit up, this dude would crash out. Dude. He would have Coon Tourette's, man. I'm like, man, they sent this dude down here to splain, man. They sent this dude down here to splain. So they kept wanting me to do a police report online. They kept emphasizing that. So what you can do, because I'm thinking that he was going to do the police report. I'm like, are you going to do the police report? No. What you can do, it's best to just do it online. Do it online, and that'll take care of it. We'll do our investigation. We'll look into everything, and we'll just make sure everything is on. We'll make sure we're on top of everything. And what I do, I'm going to assign cars, police cars, to kind of drive by the Jefferson area to make sure everything is good. And, you know, I said, okay, nigga. So he kept wanting me to do it online. And then I got another call from another detective. Hey, I heard you met up with Lieutenant Whoop-de-Whoop. And, you know, we're just following up because we, shout out to Sir Major, because they didn't hit up the mayor's office. So, yeah, we done went to the higher ups to get this stuff, you know, prioritized. Yeah. So a lot of calls have been made. A lot of emails have been made to get this prioritized. So, you know, and I need y'all, the family, to make some noise about this too. Holler at the mayor, holler at the LAPD, and let them know this needs to be investigated. We have to be protected and get the same protection as everybody else. And I kept bringing that up. And another detective wanted me to file online, file a police report online. They kept emphasizing online. They kept emphasizing doing it online. Now, here's the thing. When you file a police report online, they give you the option. There's a question. Do you think it was racially motivated? If you say yes, you can't file it online. You would have to go in. Because, see, that's different because they have to report all of the alleged racial incidents to the FBI. All right? The racial incidents, that's a little more serious, and they got to take that to the FBI. So the option, if you say it wasn't racial, then you could just file it online and then they ain't gonna do shit. No, this was, we're being racially targeted because I believe, because we're the only black owned business over there, they're targeting us because of that. They're targeting us because of that. We have a Black History Museum, a black institution that's promoting black excellence. So yeah, anytime we do that, it gets targeted. So yes, it is racial. I allege and suspect that this is racial. And every time I bring that up to the cop, the eyes were bucking. I'm not lying. This dude's eyes was bucking. I think his job was to try to deter me from pointing out the racial element of it. Because the thing is, if the feds start investigating, they're going to see some of these suspects, what kind of ties to police they have. You see what I'm saying? They start looking at all of the people that's doing little things to harass the museum and all of that. They're going to start looking and seeing who's clicked in with law enforcement. You think? Because some of these people are clicked in with law enforcement. Again, there's been undercover cops up there. Proven. Undercover cops coming up there to make hate videos. You think? So We're still going to file the reports and all of that stuff. And, you know, we got to do what we got to do, you know. But again, I thank everybody for supporting. And people can still support the museum, man. Support us, man. Because, you know, this is grassroots and this is what we got to go through. We go through this nonsense daily. We're going through this stuff daily. So go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, and get involved and contribute and let's make a difference here. Yeah, we're being strong and vigilant, but damn, you know. And again, we're going to have, while we're waiting on our conditional use permits to come in, and I think that's another thing too, because we're in the process of getting the conditional use permits, and that involves some of the community councils and all of that. Right where we're in the middle of that, this vandalism just keeps on going on. As a way possibly to show the committee, hey, look, this place is a hotbed for vandalism, so we shouldn't give it a conditional use permit because look at all this vandalism. To be honest, they're running the same play that they were doing to the Marathon store. All right? They were doing the same play to the Marathon store. You know, they kept having weird stuff going on up there, doing the shaking everybody down and the city pressuring the landlord to not sell to Nipsey. It's a lot, brother. It's a lot, family. It's a lot, but they're using the same playbook, you know? And, you know, if people keep allowing people to vandalize the place, see, that's why we have to report it, because when we don't do that, that can cause a nuisance injunction where they say, hey, there's criminal activity at your location and you're not doing anything about it. They had a nuisance injunction on Nipsey. The Marathon store had a nuisance injunction on it. Look all this stuff up that I'm telling you. So they'll have somebody vandalize a place, and they do this, and they've done this to the black businesses out in the South Central LA area. They'll have somebody up there doing real janky stuff and then go to the owner. Hey, man, there's gang activity. There's vandals. You haven't done anything about it. So we're going to put a nuisance injunction on your business, and you got to be up out of here, and you got to pay this fine. And they run this kind of game on us, man. The LA is funny. LA is funny. It's a funny thing, man. But I digress. But we're doing what we do. So again, everybody go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. HiddenHistoryMuseum.com and show your support and show your love, and we greatly appreciate that. Let's get to what we're talking about with Diddy. Sean Diddy Combs. Sean Diddy Combs. Yeah, somebody said they did that to the black bars where you live. Yeah, they do that. They did it to a brother in Long Beach. There was a brother who was running a bar in Long Beach. Some Hispanic dude went in there, left, got drunk, and then got into an accident, and they shut the brother's bar down because the Hispanic dude who had drugs in his system, they tried to blame the bar for getting him drunk and then shut the damn bar down. Y'all remember that? That happened in Long Beach a year or so ago. So they do weird stuff to the black businesses out here, man. That's why we don't have any of them. We don't have no black businesses out here in LA like that. I'm like one of the handful. And when I mean handful, handful. It's only a few for real black-owned businesses in LA. It's only a handful, man, unfortunately. And even some of these spots we think are black owned, like D's Soul Food. It's Mexicans own that. Yeah. But I digress. But let's get into the Diddy thing. So for those who don't know, Sean Puffy Combs, boy, they didn't hit him. His ex-girlfriend Cassie, who was an artist on his label, she done hit him with a civil suit and some crazy accusations. Her accusations was that she was repeatedly raped by Diddy. She said she was raped and forced to have sex with male sex workers. She said she was beat up, and man, these are some strong allegations, man. These are some strong allegations. Let me look at some of this stuff here and watch some of the words that's being used here. Trafficked. These words are used for a reason. She said she was sex trafficked. Let me pull up some of the articles on this. All right. Singer and actress Cassie filed a lawsuit against her ex-boyfriend Sean Diddy Combs, accusing him of sex trafficking and sexual assault. She alleges that she was trafficked, raped, and viciously beaten by Combs during the course of their relationship. After years in silence and darkness, I'm ready to tell my story. Man. Looks like, and she's trying to get $30 million. She's trying to get $30 million. And that's allegedly, that's what they're saying. They said she was trying to, for the past six months, hold on, let me read this, wait. For the past 6 months, Mr. Combs has been subjected to Mrs. Ventura's persistent demand of $30 million. So she's been trying to get a bag, allegedly, out of Puffy, under the threat of writing a damaging book about their relationship, which was unequivocally rejected as blatant blackmail. So allegedly, Cassie's been trying to finesse a bag. She's been trying to, allegedly been trying to get a bag from Puffy. I think she has a zaddy now. And according to her, she said it was a fast-paced, drug-fueled lifestyle. He busted her lip. There was an alleged relationship with her and Kid Cudi, and they are alleging that Puffy blew up Kid Cudi's car. So there's a lot of accusations being thrown out here. One thing that stood out, she said she was forced to engage. Hold on, where is this? She was forced to engage in sex acts with male sex workers while Diddy was whacking it off and filming the encounters. Okay. All right. So she's saying that Puffy was cucking, allegedly. This is what she's saying. I don't know how true it is, but she's saying that Puffy had some dudes smash her out while he sat in the corner looking. Wow. Okay. So male escorts, and those dudes are usually bisexual. Mm. Now, this comes at a very interesting time because there is a law out there in New York called the Adult Survivors Act that allows sexual abuse victims to file civil suits against their assailants, alleged assailants, after the statutes of limitations expired. And there's like a 1-year window to bring a case under the law when the statutes end. So she had a week left. All right. So she had a week left before she could bring this particular suit. All right. The Adult Survivors Act. So she had a week left. So before the statutes was up, before she could get the bag, this was her last ditch effort. This was the Hail Mary to get the bag. All right. So there's a few things with this, family. Now, yeah, there's been a lot of rumors about Puffy. There's been a lot of rumors. I don't know what's true, what's not true. I don't know. But I think it's very interesting the timing of her doing this. You know, just the timing. She's trying to get that bag. She done got her a Zaddy now. What is Cassie's, the name is Ventura. Is that her husband's name or is Ventura her last name? Is she like a Latina? What is Cassie, family? Y'all help me out. Is Cassie Latina? Yeah, it sounds like a money grab. I'm not defending anybody. No. I'm not defending anybody. I'm just speaking on this thing from all angles. I ain't defending nobody because I don't know anything. All right. She's Filipino? Filipino. Got it. I'm just looking at this thing from all angles. Some people are saying Latina. Some people are saying Filipino. All right. Ventura is her maiden name. So it's Filipino. Filipino and what? She full Filipino? Okay. But listen. You get a lot of these women from these backgrounds. And I want to talk to brothers for a minute. I want to talk to the brothers for a minute. See, what happens is, guys, y'all get these women who are, you know, these non-black women. A lot of times, these Latinas or some of these Asian women. And they're down for a lot of freaky stuff at the time. And they're very submissive and they go along with all of your weird quirks. All right. But later on, when they get older, the money dries up. They realize, you know, they go get a Zaddy. And y'all better understand, some of these women, when they get a Zaddy, they use the Negro as they get out a hoeing free card. Yeah, they use you as the get out of hoeing free card. They do real freaky stuff, and then all they got to do later on is say, well, that nigga I was with drugged me and forced me to do it. And this is the same MO that we keep seeing. That's all they got to say. You become that get out of horn free card. Then they become a victim. Remember Kim Kardashian. What did she say? When I was doing the sex tape with Ray J, I was on drugs. Oh, I was on ecstasy. Something like that. Allegedly, she said something like that, right? Yeah, Kim was on that. I was high. Yeah. They pulled the I was high and drugged out. That's the Othello thing. Just like they pulled that on Bill Cosby. Yeah, we all laid up with Bill Cosby, but he drugged us. And we were all high. And it was drug and rape. It was a drugging and raping going on. It's the same MO. Y'all got to watch it. Getting with these women of these different ethnic backgrounds and they're down for the freaky stuff. And then y'all go overboard with it. You go overboard and then later on, all they got to do, he forced me to do it. I was trafficked. Look at the words. I was trafficked. Same language they use for R. Kelly. Yep. But here is the thing with Diddy. it looks like they might be setting Diddy up for a bigger RICO case because of the language they're using. Now, this is a civil case. Let's understand that. This is a civil case, but just the public perception. So now they're criminalizing Diddy using very specific language, trafficking. And he had his people do this, and he was doing that. He was having people participate in the raping of her and forcing her to do this and blowing up cars and all of that stuff. Now tie this in with the Keefe D situation. They got Keefe D in jail on the Tupac murder. So now, family, they can start setting up Puffy and Bad Boy Records as a criminal enterprise. Which is what they do to a lot of black labels. They find a constant, or they try to thread together a consistent level of criminal activity, allegedly, and then say, okay, well, this was a criminal enterprise going all the way back to the 90s. Eh? They can say, I mean, this guy, he was putting hits on people. He blew up cars. He allegedly gave Keefe D and those guys money. You know, Keefe D is running his mouth, yelling, Puffy, Puffy gave me this and Puffy, Puffy gave me that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they want to arrest Keefe D. And they got him talking about he ain't even got money for a lawyer. So you know Keefe D is going to say whatever. If they get Keefe D on the stand, he's giving it all up. Yeah, she wasn't underage, so the trafficking thing, all right? They keep using the word trafficking. Now, she wasn't underage, but they keep using the word traffic. Trafficking, 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 all right? So, looks like they might be trying to cook up a RICO charge, and that'll be a big fish for them. Like Eddie Griffin said, they don't let no brother get up out of here clean. And they let Puffy make a lot of money over the years. So, yeah, they're not going to let you get out the game clean. They got to dirty you up a little bit. And they, you know, Puffy has gotten out of those, a lot of those other cases he's been in. Remember, Puffy, you know, had Johnny Cochran getting him out of that shooting with him and Shine, you know. Puffy's been using his paper, as a person should, to evade prosecution for a long time. So, you know, they're going to try to get a RICO thing going and bring up all that stuff. I can see what their RICO is going to say. Well, Puffy was with trafficking the women, and there's all types of weird sex stories going on and blowing up people's cars and the gang members this and giving gang members that. And there's a shooting in the club and giving the bodyguards this. And notice they got these bodyguards saying all of this reckless stuff about him online. They get some former employee and then have them sit up there online and just say all the most reckless stuff they can say. You know, sounds like they're trying to. Yeah, that City College death too. Yeah, Puffy, he's escaped prosecution for a long time. They were like, hey, you know what? Let's tally all that stuff up and do a big case that he can't wiggle out of. See, we got to know how these folks think. You know? We got to know how these people think. So, yeah, the way they're kind of dogpiling on him right now, sounds like they're trying to set up a big case. So that it's interesting to see how all of this stuff is going to play out. And speaking of that, you know, when you get former employees making accusations, like the dude who's accusing Will Smith of getting dug out by Dwayne Martin. And I'm not going to play the clip of the dude. The dude was on Tasha K's show, and he's supposed to be an assistant to Will. And I don't think this guy was, you know, really clicked in the way he's making it seem. But Will gave him a shout out, and he used that as an opportunity to kind of flip on Will. And Jada was on the Breakfast Club saying something to the effect of the guy was trying to shake down some money from them. You dig? So sound like this guy's trying to get a bag, and the guy talking about, yeah, I went in the room and I had a key, and I saw Will bent over and Dwayne Martin murdering him. He was having anal sex with him. Murdering him. To be honest, I don't believe, dude. Yeah, I don't really believe, dude, to be honest. I don't believe that. I don't believe that dude walked in and saw that. Again, this dude is trying to sell a book or something like that. The dude is trying to sell a book, so I think it's a clout chase. I actually think it's a big-ass clout chase. You know, people say real reckless stuff online. We're like, yeah, he was getting bent over, getting murdered. He was murdering him. Murdering, stop it. I don't believe that Will would be out there spreading bussy with somebody holding on to a key, and I'll stop it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So I think he's just playing on rumors that's been around for a long time. You know? But we got to watch people in our circles. We got to watch the kind of people that that hang around. We can't bring around people who are hard luck ass folks, people who ain't got nothing to lose. You can't bring those kind of people around. That brings me to what happened with Tamar. Tamar had Krishan Rock at her concert, and Krishan Rock basically crashed the concert, got on stage drunk, and then allegedly assaulted one of Tamar's background singers. Let me find the stuff on that. That was a whole train wreck and a mess. Hold on. Let me pull up some of the video of that. Where's the video? So here's Krishan. She's on stage twerking and drunk and just a whole big mess. Hold on one second. Where am I? All right. Hold on. Let me see if I can play the audio here. Hold on. Where we at? Okay, so they were up there booing her, I think. They were booing her. Okay. So they were basically booing her up there. They were booing her because they didn't want to see that. I wouldn't want to see that either. I'm paying money to see Tamar and Toni Braxton. I think, wasn't Toni Braxton up there? Wasn't Toni Braxton up there too? So yeah, man, if I'm paying $60, $70 to see some talent, I don't want to see no drunk ass reality star waddle on stage. Nobody wants to see that if I'm paying. No. No, no, no. And there's other video of Krishan basically harassing the background singers. They're trying to move her hand out of the way. She's touching on the background singers and they're like, get off me. Hold on, let me play that real quick. So this is Krishan. Hold on, look at this. Hold on.
And so we got you this cake, this Love and War cake. We're so proud of you that you believed in yourself. And you don't let anybody hold you down.
They got pineapple in
it. And so, y'all ain't never been to Tamar's house, but I have. And there's something that's missing at her house on her walls. And so, as successful as she's been, she doesn't have any gold.
All right, so you see the background singers are like, get away from me. The background singers are like, move. What are you doing? Yeah? Dude. Now, and Tamar said she didn't let her on stage. Tamar said she just kind of waddled out there. She just kind of walked out there on stage because Tamar was chopping it up with her behind the scenes. So because Tamar was chopping it up with her behind the scenes, you know, Krishan, okay, thinks, okay, she's the star. She's a star too. And she's going to walk out there and just kind of crash the show. And here is one of Tamar's people explaining how the Krishan lady socked and punched Tamar's background singer, the guy, the brother, the LGBT brother. Hold on, let me play that one real quick. All right, hold on.
It breaks my heart that we even have to go this route and even have to go back and forth on social media. For those that don't know, I am the tour manager for Tamar Braxton, the Love and War Tour. And what I'm going to address is the assault. We were in the room. At the end of the show, Krishan walked up to Tamar. Troy brought her out a cake. Tamar put her hands in the cake. She had a right handful of cake and some cake in her mouth. And Krishan came out and was like, "Where you going, sis? Gotta go on stage." And I'm looking like, "Huh? Like, what's happening?" And Tamar, like, the show is over. What do you mean? She said, "I'm about to go on stage." And she's like, "Huh? You ain't been out? You haven't went out there already?" Because she was supposed to go out during the twerk session. She hadn't been out. Krishan hadn't been out. So I was like, "Come on, ladies, let's just take this in the dressing room." And in the dressing room, it was me, Tamar, and Krishan. Tamar was trying to figure out why didn't Krishan go out during the twerk session? And she's looking at me, and I'm like, "I don't know. Like, Krishan, I don't know why she didn't go out." So Krishan breaks down and starts crying. And I felt bad, and the Holy Ghost in me, because I carry it everywhere with me, I began to give her a hug and everything like that, because I like Krishan. I like her. And, you know, and I was like, "I don't want to see nobody with their feelings hurt, or I don't want nobody feeling some sort of way, because there was a big line of miscommunication that took place." So I began to try to comfort her and hug her and be like, "No, don't cry, because it's not that, you know what I'm saying? I don't want you to feel no sort of way." And this was just in the dressing room, and this was me.
We fast forward.
This happens to her all the time, and she felt, you know, that this was just like, that shouldn't happen to her, because, you know, she was going to go out. David and Mooney come in. They both do makeup. And we're all at this point talking about what happened. Tamar is saying, "Mooney, what happened?" Da-da-da. Mooney was saying that Krishan was not on the side of the stage when it was time for the twerk part. Mooney is the choreographer, and he also does makeup. Mooney was saying Krishan was not on the side of the stage. And then James comes in the room. So at this point, it's me, Krishan, David, Mooney, Tamar, James. James comes in the room and notices that Krishan is upset. By the mirror, Krishan is on the right-hand side. James is right next to her. He was consoling her. And I was literally right next to James.
Okay.
And Tamar asking James, "Well, what happened? Why didn't Krishan go out there during the twerk session?" And James said, "We was looking for her on the side of the stage, and she was not on the side of the stage." And Krishan got very upset, and she was like, "I was on the side of the stage. I was there. Where else would I go, man? You lying. Like, that's cap. I was on the side of the stage. Like, I was there on the side of the stage." And James said, no, you wasn't. We called for you there." Krishan said, say I wasn't there one more time. Say I wasn't there on the side of the stage one more time." James was like, "I'm telling you, we was calling you, and you bah, 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 bah." I'm like, "Oh, shit." Literally happened just like that. And here I am, like, this girl just hit this boy a couple of times with them big-ass rings on her finger. And I'm just like, "No, this is not happening. This is not happening. This is not happening." I get Krishan to the other side of the room. At this point, James' face is leaking with blood.
Okay, that's enough of that. Okay, so y'all get the point. Y'all get the point. All right. Wait, how are we with the sound? How are we with the sound? Could y'all hear that pretty good? We good? All right. All right. So y'all get the point. Listen. Family, you can't have these elevated losers around. You can't have these elevated losers around. You know, the book 48 Laws of Power, there's a passage in there where they say, avoid the unlucky and unfortunate people. You got these people out here who are train wrecks. Unfortunately, social media has elevated train wrecks. You put them on a reality show, and now you get somebody, you got people out here who couldn't function normally in everyday life. You put them on a reality show or you elevate them in some kind of social media, all of a sudden you've platformed these people as some type of influencers. But what happens is that just magnifies their dysfunctions. You dig? You got these people who are losers in real life. Unfortunately, you can't save everybody. They're elevated losers, man. That's just the long and short of it. And bringing them around because they have popularity, because Tamar probably brought her around. Hey, this girl is popular on social media. Let me bring her around so the young folks can, you know, kind of ride with me. But no, you don't bring train wrecks around when you got an established career, you got an established crew. You don't bring that type of nonsense around established people. I heard Toni Braxton really didn't want to have nothing to do with it, allegedly. I don't know. But Tamar is a real brand. She is a real talent. She has talent. Tamar is very talented. Her background singers are very talented. You have a talented group of people. You don't have to associate with that degenerate, no talent, elevated loser nonsense. Yig? Y'all stop bringing that stuff around. As I keep telling y'all, that whole Sexy Red, Suki Hana, Krishan, filth, that's something that you leave. You're supposed to leave that somewhere else. When you bring that around, it's a problem. When I say that, I'm not being mean-spirited. When you see the BET Awards and they got pregnant hood rats barefoot twerking in the aisle, that's not something that reputable people need to be around. That's not something that reputable people need to be around. We don't have to embrace all of that filth, man. We don't have to embrace it just because it's popular. This is elevated loser, man. It's elevated filth. These are elevated losers. We don't have to embrace that. We got this church mentality where and the Braxton girls, you know, they come out of the church. And in black churches, y'all know what it is. Every Sunday, you got the losers in the community coming to give their testimony. And I'm just being real. I'm not trying to beat up on nobody. But the crackheads and the simpletons would come in on Sunday and give their testimony, and everybody's, okay, take your time. Yes, first of all, I give honor to God. I am 3 weeks clean off crack cocaine. I relapsed 3 Mondays ago, but I'm clean right now. I'm trying to get a little piece of these donations, so I'm going to get some more crack, so I can get myself together. Praise the Lord. You know, we're used to that. We're used to these weirdos coming up into church and giving their testimony, and we're embracing them. Oh, it's okay if you're a crackhead. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, people, we don't have to, black folks, we don't have to embrace all of that filth, man. We ain't got to embrace it. And embracing the Krishans and all of these people, they will drag you down. They will drag you down with them. You got these people who ain't got nothing going on. Nothing is popping with them. These folks will drag you in the gutter with them. They have nothing to lose. See, with the Krishan and people like that who's basically known for being train wrecks, they have nothing to lose. They have absolutely nothing to lose. So for them to come in and tear your shit up and destroy your brand and assault one of your singers, so now your singer, this guy, can be like, hey, you know, there's a, I might need to get a bag out of the Braxtons. Because now you'd invited this maniac to come up here to your joint, and she assaults one of your people who's on the payroll. So now that dude can get a bag. You know, if he wants to go there. So yeah, you don't put your people in that situation by bringing these elevated losers around, man. We don't have to embrace these type of people. Yeah. We don't have to embrace them. And there's just people out here who don't have anything going on, and they've embraced being losers. And social media creates a platform for us to see losers and be like, well, damn, I'm crazy, but I ain't that crazy. You know? So they got this toothless maniac who's running around here fighting everybody with the baby and with this baby. Here's my thing. Krishan has a baby by Blueface. And my thing is, with the baby, just hold the baby's head up. Every time I see Krishan with that poor baby, every time I see her with that baby, the baby is flopping around. I'm screaming, hold the baby's head. If you want to smoke drugs or be drunk or whatever you want to do, not saying you do any of that, I don't know what you do. Hold the baby's head. That's all I ask of Krishan. Just hold that baby's head. Every time I see her with that baby, I'm screaming. My anxiety goes up. Hold the goddamn baby's head. The baby be just flopping all over the place. Lord. Poor baby. Damn. Can we stop elevating these maniacs, dude? Can we stop elevating these maniacs? And where she's from out there in Baltimore? She's from Baltimore. And I think the Braxtons, they're from that Baltimore area. So I think they felt like they got a camaraderie with them. But we gotta understand something, family. A lot of folks out of that Baltimore area, and look, we got some good folks from Baltimore. We got some good people from Baltimore. We do. We got some riders in Baltimore. And I've talked about the Baltimore, that Maryland area. You got some people that are very damaged out there in the Baltimore area, going all the way to slavery, because you had some of them breeding farms out there in Maryland. Family, they had them breeding farms out there in Maryland. And there were people who were forced to have sex with their relatives during antebellum slavery. That's why out there in Baltimore, that area has a lot of high incest rates out there. The incest rates are very high out there. You understand? Your Jada's from that area. You see these people with these dysfunctions, but there's a lot of that incest that was happening that goes on out there in that area. Remember Monique? Monique is from there. There was some incest stuff going on with her brother, remember? Some stuff going on with the brother. So yeah, out there, yeah, they got the highest heroin addiction. You saw me on No Jumper. Shout out to No Jumper. Oh, yeah, I'm on a new episode of No Jumper with my brother Flacco that came out today. So after you guys watch this, you can watch that. But yeah, Baltimore had a high incest rate. There's a lot of inbred people out there. What did I tell you? Remember, I told people about that Habsburg jaw. A lot of people who are inbred. The Habsburgs, the Spanish Habsburgs, the Spanish royal family, they start getting them big ass jaws because of them big long heads, because they were inbred. They start looking weird. Look at Baltimore, look at some of them niggas in Baltimore. Look at them big weird head niggas. That's out, some of them out there in Baltimore. Weird shaped head niggas. Take a look at them. Take a real good look at them. Some of them, not all. I'm talking about, we got some riders in Baltimore, but take a look at some of them niggas out there. How weird they look. Huh? And you kind of put two and two together. Huh? Man. But yeah, the incest thing was real heavy out there. You look at these long-haired, big-jawed niggas with these Habsburg chins out there. That's very unusual looking. Huh? And how weird they are. It's a mess. It is, yeah, they got them big-ass Habsburg jaws. They look weird. Look weird, do weird shit. For a minute, but they were talking about, for a long time, they were talking about how rough the women in Baltimore look. That was like online, I remember about a decade ago, that was the thing. They were talking about how rough the women look and all that. There's some, look, and I love Baltimore. I go out to Baltimore. Baltimore shows me a lot of love. So I'm not dumping on Baltimore. I got a lot of love for Baltimore. Baltimore, they've been supporting me majorly. I love Baltimore. I do. But there's a lot of weird activity that goes on, and there's a context to it. Yeah? There's a context to it. Yeah? But but I digress. We got a lot of people in the room. We got 6,000 of y'all in here. Look, hope y'all going to rootworkstyle.com to get your Rootwork deodorant, ladies and gentlemen. Rootworkstyle.com. We got the new Lucky Lavender scent. We got the Mango Mojo scent at Rootwork. Who's texting me? Who the hell's texting me? At rootworkstyle.com. Who is this? Yeah, rootworkstyle.com. Hold on, my assistant is texting me. Hold on. Okay, hold on one second. Hold on. Sorry about that. We are in here heavy. Let me show y'all. Y'all go to rootworkstyle.com. Some other stuff we got to talk about tonight. Hold on, let me go here. rootworkstyle.com to get the deodorant. And this is an all-natural deodorant. Smells very good, and some of y'all need it. All right, rootworkstyle.com. Let me go down. All right, we got the new, that's the Mango Mojo. Very good scent, nice citrusy scent. And we got 4 cents now. We got the Lucky Lavender going on. The Lucky Lavender scent is popping. And we got that vanilla scent that's real popping too, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to miss that. Very good scents, ladies and gentlemen. Other stuff that's going on out here now, you know, people are still running with the whole Puerto Ricans and hip hop narrative. People are still desperately trying to push that narrative. They're still trying to push that narrative. And I think I played this before, and this is circulating around again. This dude here trying to quote Busta Rhymes as a source about Puerto Ricans influencing hip hop and all of this stuff just because they say so. Hold on. These people can never tell who, what, when, and what are they influencing? What did they do? Hold on. Hold on.
Puerto Ricans was part of hip hop from the beginning. And people like Busta will tell you, we was there in the South Bronx.
The origin of hip hop was started of black and Puerto Rican people. We created the biggest culture in the world.
Our influence is embedded in the culture already, so facts is facts.
Okay, and you know what? And family, they never ever tell you what the influences were. They never, ever, ever tell you what the influences were. Every time they say that, it's nothing specific. They can never tell you what you actually brought to the table. They never can tell you. They can never say, yeah, we did this. We actually pioneered this skill. We pioneered this element. It's always, I was there. What did you bring? See, with black folks, we can always point out, especially foundational black Americans, we can point out what we brought to the table in any genre. We can point out what we brought to the table. See, when somebody creates something successful and you're black, we're required to bring something to the table. You just can't show up and be like, hell, I'm here. Let me get credit. No, we're required to bring something to the table. I saw an interview recently with Johnny Gill. Shout out to Johnny Gill and New Edition. They're going to be up in Vegas doing a temporary residency. But with the Johnny Gill and New Edition situation, he was talking about how they got together and how they needed each other. They blew each other up. Because New Edition, remember when, how many people remember when Johnny Gill first got with New Edition in 88, the NE Heartbreak Tour? In 1988, New Edition, you know, they were a child group. They were around 88. They were 18, 19, 20 at that point. They're coming out of the teeny bop stuff to grown men. Usually when a child group, when they grow up, they fall off. You do not have children's groups growing up and transitioning into adulthood because you identify them with that teeny lollipop thing. That's why y'all remember groups like The Boys, they fell off. No disrespect, but they disappeared. They grew up and you never heard of them again. So you see a kid group and they're known for these kid songs, these baby childish candy songs. When they grow up, you know, what you're known for, you can't be a grown-ass man trying to replicate that. You dig? It's hard to rebrand. You dig? New Edition never fell off. And when they transitioned, when they were about to transition from kid group to adults, they ingeniously brought in Johnny Gill, who was a young dude who sounded old as hell. See, that's what Johnny brought to the table. Johnny didn't have any big hits in the 80s. He had a couple of cool little records, but he was on the radar. And the problem with Johnny was that he was this young kid, he was a teenager, who sounded like a 40-year-old man. So the record labels didn't know what to really do with him. So you couldn't have a little kid who sounds like a grown man singing kiddie songs because it would sound weird. Like, I want to meet you at the playground, baby. You know, that don't sound good. And you can't have him really a 14-year-old singing adult stuff. I want to rub you down in the playground. You can't have that. Ride on my big wheel. And then I pull your breast out. You can't have that, a little kid rapping about or singing about something sexual. So they didn't know what to do with Johnny Gill. But when New Edition was transitioning, he was a perfect fit for that. He brought in a mature sound. He was already with a group of young men who were still kids to a certain degree. Bobby had left and blown up. And Bobby was like, hey, I'm going solo and I ain't doing none of that kiddie shit. I'm about to throw dick around. Yeah. So Bobby immediately became the bad boy. So now New Edition, you out here doing the little kiddie stuff and you got Bobby Brown out here grinding and throwing his crotch on women. And y'all, ooh, ooh. You know, you got to do something. Yeah. You can't be no old nigga trying to still sound like the little teeny bop, you know, you got to have somebody in there to transition you. And that's, Johnny was a perfect fit for that. Johnny was perfect. So they got together and New Edition rebranded, blew the hell up. Any Heartbreak, classic album. Classic. Yeah? Classic ass album. And then Bobby got back in the group, and then these guys sell out venues to this very day. But the point is, each of them brought something to the table. See, we know how to bring things to the table to complement each other. You bring things to complement each other. New Edition brought something. They brought a young fan base. They brought a string of hits. Johnny brought a maturity level there and a vocal range that was new that could transition. That's why they were singing these songs together, and the vocal arrangements were mixed with the young teeny bop voices with the mature, and it clicked. It clicked beautifully. Yeah. And that saved New Edition and transitioned them into a superpower adult group. That's why they're touring to this day, and other people have fallen off. Yeah. Yeah, I go see New Edition every time, anytime they come to town. I love seeing those brothers. I mean, they're phenomenal. But going back to what I'm saying about the whole hip hop thing, see, other groups, they sit here and try to claim the success of something without them actually bringing anything to the table. And I think that's very disrespectful to us, where you can just pull up a chair and say, yeah, I didn't bring shit to this thing. I didn't bring no elements. I didn't bring no DJing. I didn't bring no rapping. I didn't bring no graffiti. I didn't bring anything, but I'm Latino and I'm here. So you just bring your Latin ethnicity. That's, you think that's good enough? Well, I was there. What'd you bring, dude? What did you bring to the table? I was right there. I was right at the park. And what did you bring? Man, I was there, though. I was right there. Well, you brought your Latin ethnicity, and we're supposed to give you props for that, for you just showing up? No, thank you. No. And that's not divisive. That's very insulting, where you don't think you have to bring anything to the table but your Latin ethnicity, and you're supposed to get the same kind of props for creating something that we put blood, sweat, and tears in creating. No, very disrespectful. That's entitlement. Yeah? All that, I was there. Nah. I lived in the projects. I was right there next. No. Well, Joe Conzo took pictures. Nah. Speaking of entitlement. Speaking of damn entitlement. Family, y'all know they keep trying to drag us. They're trying to drag foundational Black Americans into the conversation about Israel and Palestine. They keep trying their desperate way to drag us in this thing. Family, why don't they? Look at these articles that's coming out. Why Black American lives depend on backing Israel? No, how? How? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Our lives depend on it. No, it don't. We're fine. We don't have to put the cape on for nobody. Family, we are so codified right now when people are salty because we're not jumping up caping for nobody. We're letting everybody hold their own nuts. You are not going to shame us into fighting for you when you don't fight for us. You're not going to shame us. We don't owe nobody nothing. Leave us the hell alone. We don't owe nobody nothing. People have shitted on us left and right, and because we don't have the cape on for you, they want to crap on us. Listen to your boy. This mama got a lot of nerve. This one here, family, y'all, boy, he got a lot of nerve. Oh, this is your boy. Your boy got a lot of nerve. Listen to him. Hold on.
Yo, if 20 American tourists, forget the 1,200 people that were murdered, slaughtered, civilians. If 20 American civilians, all African American, all Black, all ages, were taken hostage, and 10 of them were murdered and raped, and there was 10 surviving American tourist hostages that were all Black, there's not one motherfucker in this country that would be talking about ceasefire. There's not one person. It would be bring the fucking hostages back, and they better be alive They better be pristine. There wouldn't be no ceasefire. There would be no rally. Can you imagine college students ripping down posters of 10 black people from America if they were taken hostage and 10 others were raped and murdered? Nobody would be saying shit. The African-American community would be demanding they came back. White people, black...
What is he talking about? Dude, what is this Habsburg jaw-having buffoon? Dude, what is he talking about? What is that? None of what he's saying ain't making sense. These people just got us so damn rent free. What? I don't even know what he's babbling about. What is he talking about? I thought it was just me. That's why I played it. So y'all can kind of figure out what the hell is he? What does that have to do with us? What the hell are you talking about? And what does it have to do with black Americans? What are you talking about? It's these people. We're so rent free. It don't even make sense. They can't even make sense of their babble. They just have to mention us. If it was some African Americans, y'all would be, it wouldn't be a ceasefire. The hell does that mean? What does that even mean? Boy, they gotta drag us in the mix. This desperate ass thought process of drag, you gotta bring us in it somehow. There's a war going on a gazillion miles away from us. We're over here eating soul food and mac and cheese. I don't want to speak on what y'all doing, but hey, good luck to you. I'm over here eating buffalo wings. You African Americans wouldn't want a ceasefire. Y'all would, what? Huh? Leave us alone. Please, y'all hold your own nuts and go do you. We're not obligated to put the cape on and y'all just mentioning us. We don't have nothing to do with any of it. We have nothing to do with it. We are staying out of it. That's what collectively, and that's killing them. They're so used to us jumping up with the capes and doing all the fighting for them. We're sitting it out. They don't know what to damn do. Because now you got to fight on your own. You got to hold your own nuts. So all of these people from all different sides keep dragging us into this stuff. Continue to be Bennett. We ain't in it. Listen, we don't have anything to do with none of that stuff going on. We're not obligated to do anything for anybody. Y'all sit up here and let us get slaughtered. Y'all let each and everything happen to us. We don't get no help from nobody. And there's been this constant people trying to shame us into getting involved. Hey, y'all black people, where the black people? We ain't going to forget. Y'all, well, keep remembering then. Well, y'all can't threaten us with anything because you've already done everything negative to us. See, that's the thing. That's another reason why they're frustrated, because we're sitting it out collectively. You got a couple of Democratic shills that they're putting out there that's getting shut down, but collectively we're sitting it out and they're not used to that. So they want to threaten us with something, but you've already done everything to us. You're not giving us anything to deprive us of. You can't threaten to take anything away from us. You don't give us nothing. So we're giving you the same energy you're giving us. Nothing. You do you. We're letting you handle your own business. We ain't in it. We're not in it. These little veil threats you're doing, it doesn't work because you're not doing anything for us anyway. We're, like somebody said in the room, we're focusing on black on black crime. That's what y'all been telling us to focus on that. That's what we're focusing on black crime. We're focusing on that. But yeah, let's continue to be Bennett. This is not something we need to jump into. We ain't got nothing to do with it. Everybody hold their own nuts. Everybody fight their own battles. But you're not going to shame us into getting involved with anybody's side. Nobody's side. This ain't got nothing to do with us. And that's what it is. Anyway, let me get up out of here, family. Remember, go to, and the link is below, rootworkstyle.com. Go to rootworkstyle.com to get the brand new scents from Rootwork. We got the Lucky Lavender and the Mango Mojo scents. You got to get these now. They feel good. They smell good. The Rootwork deodorant, all natural. It has the Hijam, the Conqueror root in it, a powerful foundational Black American herb that we used throughout the centuries here, a foundational Black American themed deodorant brand. This is from our foundational Black American culture, and everybody can be a part of it and share it. Go to rootworkstyle.com, ladies and gentlemen. And y'all need it because some of you are musty. All right? Let's keep it a buck. Some of you are good people, but sometimes you smell like a baby billy goat. You're going to need some of that root work. Some of the brothers, I suggest this Lucky Lavender. You dig? Has a nice, cool scent to it. Has a nice, cool scent. When you are with the ladies, they can feel your vibe and feel your aura. It keeps that must off of you. You can put a little dab of this on. You'll be good for a couple of days. I'm telling you, this is good stuff, and it lasts very long. All right? Ladies, let me talk to the women. Some of you ladies, some of y'all are very cute. And I got the Mango Mojo for you. That mojo. We got the mojo running. That's part of foundational Black American culture. Ladies, sometimes, listen. Ladies, sometimes you're very cute. Sometimes you've been working all day. You come home from work and you want to lay up with your man, but you've been working up a little sweat under that blouse at work. And you got a nice little shape, but your titties are musty. So you put this under your arm and just kind of rub it around like that. That'll get that side titty where it gets a little musty right around there. That side, do want to get a little frisky. So he'll grab on that booby, and that booby got a little stench to it. This is going to help that out, ladies. So you got that post-work must titty. This is going to help that. This is going to help that. Sometimes that side titty is a little musty. This is going to help that, ladies. And your man is going to be comfortable giving you what you need after work. All right? Your man is going to give you what you need after work, ladies. This is what you're in. That mango scent is a very good scent. It's a very good scent. So listen. Rootworkstyle.com. Rootworkstyle.com, ladies and gentlemen. And it's unisex. So men and women can use all the different fragrances and scents. We purposely made them unisex so that everybody can use them. If you are a stud, we got my studs out here. Sometimes you want to be a lady. Sometimes you want to be a dude someday. All right. Whatever day, whatever you want to be that day, you can get some of this root work. All right. If you want to be James one day or you want to be Jamie the next day. All right. Whatever you want to do. All the studs out here. This is what you need. I know I have a lot of stud listeners. Shout out to the studs. Because you too, I know you kind of want to dress like a dude, but you don't have to smell like a big nigga. You can have your scent on too. So you can have a little sensitivity with your studding, all right? I know sometimes you want to go the whole full nine by being a big old husky nigga, but you still got to have some deodorant on. Even the women who's laying up with you, they don't want a stench on to them. And there's nothing worse than a musty stud. So get your root work at rootworkstyle.com. Rootworkstyle.com. We don't want musty studs out here. Because I love my studs out here. I love y'all. Especially down there in Atlanta. All right? But anyway, y'all, go to rootworkstyle.com. Rootworkstyle.com. All right, I'm up out of here, guys. Y'all be good. Papi Akute and Lulavuve to the family. Peace.